Today's scripture comes from Acts 13, verses 2 through 3. And in the Pew Bible, it's page 921. Again, Acts 13, 2 through 3, 921 in the Pew Bible. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. Please open your Bibles to where he just read in Acts chapter 13. In a moment, we'll probably look at a verse or two in chapter 12 as well. Before I get into this morning's lesson, I just want to highlight a couple of things going on today among us. Gospel Girls meet at 3 o'clock here at the building. If you have any questions about that, you can see Becky, parents of our young ladies. Tonight, this is the fourth Sunday of October, and since we no longer have our summer Sunday nights, since it's not summer, we have our fourth Sunday fellowship after evening worship at 5 o'clock. So if you could join us tonight at 5 o'clock and then stick around and bring a potluck dish or two, we'll have a good meal and a good time together with that as well. Hope you can join us this evening for that. And then the big thing for this coming week is Ladies' Day is this coming Saturday. So ladies, and I know some of the men are helping in some of the behind-the-scenes kinds of ways, but especially for the ladies, if there's anything you need to be doing, any questions that you have, you can see Brenda Dean today. But more than anything else, be inviting your friends and others to join you all for that special day here this coming Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m. Right? Am I right about 9 a.m.? Here at the building, and it concludes with lunch at noon. All right, so today concludes a four-part series that we have covered over the past month called Next Steps. And I just said it concludes a series, and that's really not a word I like to use for this series because it goes against everything I'm going to say today. And it goes against really what this series ultimately is all about. This series has been about our growth as disciples and what it means as we think about discipleship as this church, as we think about our growth as individuals, as we follow our Lord and Savior. I think one of the big threats to our walks, to our discipleship, is we get to a place of complacency. We get to a place where we get comfortable. When I say comfortable, I'm not talking about spiritual contentment. We should be spiritually content. But I mean comfortable in the sense of we just think, well, I've done enough. We often talk about the checklist mentality. The checklist mentality is the mentality of we sort of just get lax, get complacent. And we get to a place in our lives spiritually where we look at maybe the day that we became a Christian, when we first became a disciple, and we recognize that we grew for a while after that, and then somewhere along the way we just sort of stopped growing. We're like, well, this is just sort of good enough in life. And the rest of our spiritual existence, if we're not careful, can just sort of be on some sort of cruise control or just autopilot. And not much thought goes into anything really, spiritually speaking. And because of that, we sort of look at our faith and we're like, well, why do I just sort of feel lukewarm or dead? Or maybe we'll say things, well, you know, God just isn't showing himself to me in the way that he used to. And as we've thought about this series, we've thought about what our next steps with the Lord look like. And this has been a three-part series before today. And on the next screen, it summarizes the three lessons that we've had. The first thing, and we've looked at this through the lens of Saul of Tarsus, the man that we better know as the Apostle Paul. But Saul of Tarsus, in Acts chapter 9, he is converted to the Lord, and that is your first step, spiritually speaking. There are steps that lead to that for us, but your first step of discipleship is to be converted, to turn your life over to the Lord. And as I said in previous weeks, and I said last week as well, conversion is not just observing some sort of ritual. For us, it's not just saying, well, I've been baptized, and that's all there is to it. It's handing yourself over to the Lord, entrusting your life and your soul to the Lord. Yes, it's being immersed in water, but it's also being immersed in the Lord and saying, I'm giving my life to him and I'm going to follow after him. The next step in Saul's life that we talked about a couple weeks ago was the idea of being connected to other disciples. Saul, one of the most important, in my view, one of the most important things that took place in his early life as a disciple was he saw the need, and others saw the need, and we especially talked about Barnabas, of getting Saul connected to other disciples. He had come out of this form of Judaism that was so zealous that he was a persecutor of the church. And Barnabas said, you know what? I need to help him get connected to these people he was actually persecuting. And in those connections and in those bonds, we see the next step that we talked about last week, the idea of contributing, giving yourself in service to others. Saul had many gifts and talents and abilities. He didn't put those on the back burner, and he really didn't wait very long before he said, what can I do now that I'm a follower of Jesus? What can I do to serve and bless and benefit others? And so that's how we've summarized these next steps in the early years of Saul of Tarsus's life as a disciple. I've called this series Next Steps, but I want you to know this. I don't want you to think about steps as, well, right here we've got, what, one, two, three. It takes four steps to get to the top of that step, and then I'm on stage, and here I am. If we're not careful, we can use this step terminology and this step mentality and the concept of steps to think, well, we just sort of come to a point where we've arrived and we've done everything that we need to do to follow after Jesus. This next screen better depicts what I've wanted this series to be about. And yes, I've used steps to think about moving forward, but these steps are really more of a cycle. It does usually begin with conversion, but I should say sometimes it begins with connections. It begins by being connected to other people. Some of us were led to Christ. We were converted to Christ because we knew people who were already disciples who taught us and influenced us. But my point in this picture is to show that this is not a series of steps and then you reach the top and you're finished. But it's a cycle that should be ongoing in our lives, all throughout life. You might say to yourself, well, how can I keep being converted throughout my life? Well, I think it's pretty simple. Yes, I first come to Christ at some level, knowing who He is and knowing that I need to be forgiven of my sins, and I get connected and I contribute and I give myself in service to others. And as I do these things, you know what happens? And I'm speaking from my experience here, but I can also speak in what I've seen in other people's lives. As we do these things, and as we grow spiritually, we come to know and understand the Lord even better. We are converted in new ways, not that we're turned away from something in the past, but we grow, sometimes, yes, in understanding, but even beyond just mental or intellectual understanding, we grow in a greater sense of who Jesus is. Because as we live more like Him, as we've talked about this year, living with Him and like Him and for Him, we see Him in new ways. We appreciate Him on greater levels. And in that way, I think it's fair to say that, yes, even those of us who've been Christians for many years and many decades, we keep being converted to Him in newer and greater ways. And that's the way it should be. And what we're going to see today is that's what happened for Saul of Tarsus as well. It won't be on the screen, but we've talked about being converted, getting connected, contributing to others. Today, the fourth step in this series is continue. Keep doing these things. Live out this cycle, not to a place of completion, not to a place where you say, well, I've done all there is to do, but to a place where we experience these things to newer degrees, to greater heights, to greater depths. A quick summary, chronologically, of what we've covered so far is on the next screen. You don't have to have this memorized, and I'll acknowledge to you that some people would probably argue a little bit over these dates. I actually looked at three timelines. You can't open up the New Testament and say, well, in this year, this is exactly when Saul of Tarsus did this. But most people have approximated this is what Saul's early life, and this takes us through the lessons we've gone through over the past 3 weeks. AD 32, 33, he's a persecutor. He's on his way to Damascus. AD 33 approximately is when he's converted on the road to Damascus. A couple of weeks ago when we talked about being connected, when Barnabas connects him to the church in Jerusalem, that's probably somewhere around AD 36. He flees from Jerusalem, goes back to his hometown of Tarsus. That's really the part of his life that we know the least about, but that's somewhere around the years 36 to 44. And then last week, we found Saul and Barnabas in Antioch around the mid-40s in the first century. And then we concluded last week somewhere around AD 46 when Saul and Barnabas, a prophet from Jerusalem comes and says, hey, there are some things going on down in Jerusalem. We're going through a famine. We need some help. We need some relief. The church in Antioch says, who can we send to help them? And they choose Barnabas and Saul. You might be saying, well, why does this matter? Well, the reason why I have this on this screen for us to think about this is a lot of times those of us who grew up in Bible class learning about Saul of Tarsus in his early years, it's almost like, you know, he's converted one day, he's with the church the next day, and all of a sudden he's a missionary. And that's sort of the way that your 3 weeks of Bible classes would go. You know, Saul's converted, Saul's with the church, Saul's sent off on a missionary journey. And that's fine for Bible classes. But this took anywhere from 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years, all of these things that we consider the early days of Saul of Tarsus' life as a disciple. Listen, all this right here, he's never Paul during this time of his life. We're going to get to that in a few moments. He's Saul of Tarsus. And here's what would have been really easy for Saul of Tarsus to say and do. He could look back over for more than a decade now and say, you know what? I've come a long way. Look who I was at one time. I was somebody who persecuted Christians, but because of Jesus Christ, I am who I am today. I'm a disciple. I'm a part of the church. I'm with fellow believers. And I have gotten connected with them. I belong to this church in Antioch. And listen, I've even gotten to a place where, you know, I'm one of the better known servants in Antioch. I'm teaching among my fellow disciples. I'm going out into the community and teaching others about who Jesus Christ is, that He is the Christ. I'm able to explain from Scriptures how He is the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm now one that's so respected that when money needs to be sent to Jerusalem, they feel confident enough in me that they send it by my hands. And he's doing all these things. And here's the point. Saul of Tarsus had grown so much and he had come so far. And he could have said, you know what? This is pretty good. This is good enough. Praise God for how much I've been able to do and how much I've grown. And he could say that, but guess what? This is just the beginning for Saul of Tarsus. These are the early days, as we really look back on them, the early days of his life as a disciple. In the next screen, I want to highlight one more thing that we've gone through in this series, is that Saul, by the time he becomes Paul, there's a lot of people who help disciple him and get him to this point. When the Lord speaks to him on the road to Damascus, he's told, go talk to Ananias in town. He'll tell you what you need to do. Ananias was the human being who first brought Saul to Christ. We don't know really anything more about him than that. But Saul always remembered him. Paul always remembered Ananias' role in his life. And then as he leaves from Damascus and he starts getting connected with the church, who aids in that? It's Barnabas, the son of encouragement. The one who almost every time we see him bringing people together and building people up. And the interesting thing up to where we're getting to today in Acts 13, when you see Barnabas and Saul together, for the early years, Barnabas' name always comes first, suggesting that he's the one leading Saul. And one of the places he leads Saul to is Antioch, the church in Antioch. He says, I know the perfect person to work with the church in Antioch. I know the people that he can bless and the people who can bless him. And it's in Antioch that we really see Saul's ministry flourish and take off, and these newfound opportunities like going to Jerusalem being presented. But all these people and all these places play roles. Saul just didn't do this by himself. And God just didn't do it through miraculous means, although there were some miraculous things that took place. But the Lord used other people to help Saul through this cycle, through this process of being converted, getting connected, and contributing himself. But when we get to Acts 13, Saul has reached a place where he's now ready to serve in these roles in a more, maybe, official capacity, in more profound ways for other people. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, if you haven't already opened your Bibles. If you have one of the Pew Bibles, it's on page 921. So at the end of Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, I mentioned how Barnabas' name comes first. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and so they're now back at the church in Antioch. And in chapter 13, again verses 2 and 3, a group of the men, probably the leaders, prophets and teachers among the church in Antioch, they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit communicates, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so now, after having these experiences that we've talked about, there's a new work that the Holy Spirit has called especially Barnabas and Saul to. And so the next verse in verse 4, they go down to Seleucia and they sail off to Cyprus. And now skip down to verse 9 with me. While they're in Cyprus, it says, "But Saul, who was also called Paul." The first time in Scripture that he's called Paul. Now, Luke, as he writes that for us, doesn't give us all the reasons why he now goes by Paul, but it seems to serve as a transition in Saul of Tarsus's life. Because it's from this moment forward, as you keep reading, you skip down to verse 13. He's still with Barnabas. Verse 13 says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia." You might say, well, you know, those are just geographical places. But if you keep reading, what takes place? Paul's going to stand up and Paul's going to deliver a very profound sermon. It's not the first sermon he had ever delivered in public in this way. We've been told in chapters past, he goes into public and synagogues and preaches. But as you keep reading chapter 13, all of a sudden we've gone from Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, and what do you get to in chapter 13? Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. What does that tell us? Well, most scholars and commentators and Bible students commonly believe this is where Paul really becomes Paul, where he takes the lead. It won't be too long after this that Paul and Barnabas decide to go in different directions. Barnabas is going to continue his ministry and mission efforts, and Paul is going to go off on his own and take Silas with him. Just as at one time Barnabas took Paul or Saul under his wing, Paul's now ready to take people like Silas and later Timothy and so many others as well under his wing. You see, Saul of Tarsus wasn't content in Acts chapter 12 with just saying, you know what, this is all I need to do. I can hang it up. I can retire. I can mail it in spiritually. This is the moment where he says, what does the Lord have in store for me now? Again, the next screen, revisiting all the things we've talked about. What are these new ways in which I can see and experience the Lord in my life? What are new ways in which I can help others get connected? First to the Lord, and then to the Lord's people. How can I contribute in new ways and give myself in new ways? Again, this isn't about keeping score or keeping a checklist. It's about following in the steps of Jesus, seeing Him work in an individual's life, and helping others experience those same things as well. And the whole second half of the book of Acts, it's largely about this one man who was always looking to go to some new place, win a new soul, build a new church, maybe go back to that church and strengthen and encourage those people. Maybe go back to that church and establish elders and help them becoming self-sufficient and autonomous for themselves, not dependent on him. But for Paul, the next step wasn't hey, look at everything that I've done. It's, what more is there to do? Not out of a sense of earning his salvation, but out of a sense of, I follow after my Lord and Savior. What does he have in store for me? And what does he have in store for others? We showed a timeline earlier. More years will pass. Paul will become the Apostle Paul. Paul will become the most profound missionary of his day and time, maybe of all time, establishing churches in new places, especially serving Gentile people. People that, the way he was raised, he would have had nothing to do with those people based on how he was raised and what he was taught in his younger formative years. And now those are the people that he works most closely with to bring them to the Lord, to build up the kingdom of God. He will become author of half of what we call the New Testament. And you would think by that time he'd say, all right, hey, apostle, missionary, author, doesn't get much better than this. I've done all there is to do. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As we conclude this series, I want you to know that your next steps never come to a conclusion until the Lord calls you home. And the reason why I can say that for me and for you is because the Apostle Paul said that about himself. And if there was always a next step for the Apostle Paul, I promise you there's a next step for Blaine Kelly. And there's a next step for you. And there's a next step for Morristown Church of Christ. Not just to exist, not just to get by, not just to sit around and wait for the Lord to return, not to spiritually retire, but to continue on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes these words about himself. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Those are impressive words, no matter who speaks them, but they're all the more impressive because of the one who speaks them here. You see, Paul writes these words from jail. And you would have thought, you know, here I've given and sacrificed and served to such a degree that now I'm being persecuted on this level. It wasn't the first time he was persecuted. But here I am in prison because I serve the Lord. Surely I've done enough now. Surely I've sacrificed enough. I've traveled all these miles. I've gone to all these places. I've converted more people than I can keep count of. And even in prison, I'm writing letters to other Christians. This should be good enough. What does Paul say? Yeah, I've got miles behind me. But look at what lies ahead. And what lay ahead for Paul? One word. Jesus. He says, I stay focused on Jesus. He's the one who calls me. And he's the one that I follow. And because his life was all about Jesus, go back to Philippians chapter 1. Paul had reached a point where he could say, you know what I'm ready for? I am ready to be called home. Paul, in the sincerity of his heart, he says, I am ready. But you know what the Lord revealed to Paul? The Lord wasn't done with Paul yet. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Again, writing from prison, where at the time the threat of execution was real. He says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire, Paul's desire, is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But he says this in verse 24, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. What's Paul say? He says, hey, if I had to pick, I'd like to be with the Lord. I know that's the best thing of all for me. But what do I recognize in this moment? Speaking to the church in Philippi. The Lord tells me you still need me. The Lord tells me there's still more ways to serve. There's still more people to reach. Why? For the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul didn't live for Paul. And because Paul didn't live for Paul, Paul kept growing in the Lord. Because he continued on. That's the challenge I put before all of us this morning. That we don't get comfortable and complacent and just think, well, you know, I've been converted. Isn't that what it's all about? To be baptized into Christ? Well, that's the beginning. But it's just the beginning. Well, I'm a part of the church. You know, what more could people want of me these days? Well, yeah, the Lord wants you to be a part of His church, His body. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, to be really connected. To be really connected to other people, where you mutually benefit from those connections. And as we talked about last week, where you give of yourself, contribute your talents, but you also are on the receiving end of other people's gifts and talents and abilities. There's more in store for all of us. And to me, that's one of the most beautiful thoughts about being a disciple. Is if I allow myself to fall in the steps of Jesus, where might He lead me that I wouldn't have gone otherwise? What might He reveal to me? In what ways can I help and serve others? And in so doing, see Christ at work in me. With that said, the final screen is our Follow This Week. It's got a few more words than usual. For those of us who are Christians, get connected or stay connected. Why? Because others need you. The reality is we need others as well. We contribute ourselves because God has gifted us. It's not about what we have or what we possess, but it's about how God, through His Spirit, is working through us. See God more clearly. Be converted to Him in new ways, in deeper ways. But continue, keep going. Because God's not done with you. To our children, all of our young ones, I want all the kids' attention for a moment. I want you all to know something. We've got so many awesome kids in this church who I see God at work in your lives and doing special things through you. But I want you to know something. God's got a lot more in store for you. Those of us who've been watching you all over years have seen you all grow and develop physically, but especially spiritually. We hear you sing. We see you give good answers, right answers in your Bible classes. We hear you talking about the things you're doing for others. And we're proud of you. But you know what? God has a lot more in store for you. And we're excited to see those things come about. Now, those of us who aren't kids, everything that I just said, guess what? It applies just as much to us. God's not done with us. Even the most senior citizens among us, you are here because God is still doing things through you, and He has more good service left for you. Maybe more importantly, He's got other people out there for you to bless. And when we live out this cycle of conversion, connection, and contribution, and we continue doing that, you know what we find? We're the ones who might be the most blessed of all because of what God's doing through us. This morning, if you've not been converted and not given your life to Christ, the life of Saul of Tarsus and hopefully the life that we just described, there's a lot more in store for you, but it does begin by you giving your life and your soul over to Christ. If you've never put Him on in baptism to have your sins washed away, we hope that you make that decision today. Take that next step. It might take a few steps to get to the front pew, but those will be the best physical steps you will have ever taken in your life. In the beginning of many more steps following after Jesus. For those of us who are Christians, let's continue. God's not done with us yet. God's not done with Morristown Church of Christ. And God's not done with you as an individual, even though sometimes you might think so. If you need us to pray for you, to encourage you, if you need to meet with the elders, you might need some help with what's going on in your life. We're here to take our next steps together. Whatever your need is of the Lord this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.